Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We'll routine to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme to our quiet dancing able. We're off the bat in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would
realize... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind?
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. out and watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. Thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our sides. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Hello everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazoozradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat room, jump over there to the superchat.html. So I posted a link over here in the video link down here, and a link of some of the crazy things a particular individual said. Yeah, that's good for radio.
What's that?
All that banging around, we're live. All right, so anyway, started off to try to find something funny to put out there today, and you know, just kind of lighten up the load of the world and such. But the deeper I got to digging into the world out there, the world's like gone mad. I mean, the majority of all the funny clips you find aren't so funny when you get down to all the foul language and the way that they talk about each other and that kind of stuff. And so, it's really, the world's changed a lot. There used to be a way where people could actually do a lot of humor without dropping all the filthy words and such. Let's see if I can move my microphone over closer on that side. There we go. All right. So anyway, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just a generation gap or whatever. But I see the world a whole lot different than the average Joe, apparently. And if you look out there at some of the crazy things that people do on YouTube, and man, it's amazing that there's so many people still alive on this planet with all the craziness going on. People will try to ride just about anything. They'll try to jump just about anything. Well, probably the worst one I've seen yet still stuck in my mind is the one where Thomas showed me a video of a man shooting himself in the face with a doggone Roman candle. So I got to thinking, man, is this world, is there a mental illness plague going on in the world, or is that the wrong terminology? I mean, is it just that people are doing more insane stuff, or the fact that we have access to see, witness to all the craziness going on? Was the world crazy before all this stuff? It's hard to say. either way, starting off trying to be funny and then end up having to be more of a serious episode. Couldn't believe some of the things that I saw out there in the world. I typed in this world is mentally ill, and that was the term that I was used. They used different terms, crazy and whatever, just to see crazy things that people said or funny things that people said. And man, well, I opened up a can of worms when I went down that rabbit hole. It's a shame because, like I said, some of the so-called celebrities out there have no idea where their mindset's at. But some of the things that they come out of their mouths, and some of the actions that they do, and some of the lifestyles that they live, it's really disturbing. Really don't know much what more to say about that than that's probably about the best word I can find right there. Is it's disturbing to see what society has become. You know, Paul Harvey back in 1965, I play that clip a lot, and he talked about how the world was, he said if he was the devil, and he explained pretty much what he'd do and allow the world to be the way it is. Man, there's a big difference between the 1950s and 60s and 70s and 80s and all the way up till finally you get to here to the present time, how things have changed so dramatically. I don't know if it's in our diet, if it's got to do with any of the chemistry that's in the water, chlorine, chloride, chlorine, and whatever. Or somebody just ate a lot of paint chips when they were kids. It's just that it seems like the majority of the world has gone literally mad. Off their gourd. Can't even think of all the phrases. Off your rocker, two bricks short of a full load, or whatever. Nonetheless, I really don't know what to say.
Well, did you say something about rocker?
Yeah, off your rocker. Now he's got that squeaky chair going, driving me mad. So I'm gonna be next. I'm gonna be the next crazy in line. You need to come closer to your microphone because you sounded like you was way back in the tunnel when you said that. So Thomas, are you there?
Yeah, this thing is really, really sensitive. Like, I've got it turned up almost 3/4 of the way. If I move it just a little hair, how much louder am I now?
A little bit better, but you still sound like you're in the other room.
Test.
There, that's better. Try to say something.
Something.
Alright, so Thomas, is it just me, or is things in this world crazier?
I don't know. I think it depends on what you're talking about. I think the whole issue you're talking about, though, is actually a pendulum.
A pendulum?
A pendulum.
Yeah?
It never stays in the middle. Because if it swings really far to the right, it's going to come back to the middle and swing really far to the left. The farther you pull it to the right, the farther it's going to go to the left. So the more you try to pull things your way, to make things the way you want it, the harder it's going to swing back when it's time for somebody else who's pulling the other direction for it to be their way, whenever it swings back around.
So
it's, you know, like politics, left and right. That's why they call them left and right, because it's part of a pendulum.
So
and you keep running, the clockwork of the machine keeps going.
So almost what it sounds like to you is like the people are playing tug of war with sanity. Man.
Right.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I should just let the world be what it is and just try to make the best out of a bad situation. Because when I look out there and I see what people are fighting over, it don't make no sense.
It's
especially right. when it comes to resources. It really absolutely makes no sense on resources. But nonetheless, people think that they got to have control of everything under the sun, including each other. And so with that said, everybody is pretty much doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Fighting and feuding and fussing and robbing and raping and looting and pillaging.
And by your admission, though, if you try to control them to stop them doing any of that, you're trying to control other people, too. So you're now feeding the pendulum that runs the machine that's basically eating the human race.
Well,
withdrawals, it's like the, I'm trying to remember the name of the movie. There's a movie where basically this guy hacks into the computer that controls all the nuclear missiles. And he thinks it's just, you know, a game.
It's a video game.
And by the end of the game, he and the computer have come to the conclusion that the only way to win a nuclear war is to not play at all.
Well, I agree. That movie was War Games with Matthew Broderick, I think is his name.
Right.
Anyway, it's... I don't know, it's a crazy roller coaster. Really the only way I know that you can get off this crazy roller coaster, I don't even want to mention because I don't have no ideas in nobody's head, but unless we can build like the USS Enterprise and fly out to space, but chances are we might find somebody crazier out there. What do you think?
Well, I was going to say, there's a little phrase that I think would actually say what you were probably thinking. It's from a movie called The Demon Seed, and it's about AI trying to basically become human. And his statement, whenever they're looking at basically shutting down the system, because he's managed to copy himself onto a hybrid human computer.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, when you shut yourself down, you're going to die. He said, I understand that life is more terrifying and more mysterious.
Yeah, that's crazy, but true, man.
Mm-hmm. He also said that death makes good losers of us all. It's a great equalizer. When you're dead, you're equal to everybody else that's dead. There's no way you can be any different than anybody else.
Well, I'm hoping that somehow or another there must be some big divine plan or something. Otherwise, this was a waste of my time. Man, there's got to be something. There's got to be something better. This must have been like a school or a learning experience or something. Because if this is all life was, is go out down here and go crazy and act a fool and do whatever you can. You know, you can find enjoyment in life if you look for it. But it's like the craziest roller coaster of ups and downs. And I almost like to say I prefer to have never even took that ride.
Right.
You know, to see what all's gone on in this world since the time I came here to the time I left. I would, like you just said a minute ago, where the computer...
Well, I'm saying that kind of reminds me of the whole Nietzsche thing. You push that issue far enough, eventually you'll end up dying screaming and writing your, in your own filth and whatnot, you know?
Yeah.
So. I think you just gotta get centered, you know? Stop swinging back and forth with the pendulum. Get off of it. Get grounded, you know?
Well, the question is, how would one person even know they even got on the doggone pendulum, you know?
That's the same question as incompetence. If you're incompetent, does that fact that you are incompetent make it impossible for you to see that you are incompetent and therefore unable to make any change to your situation?
Man, you know, if you go talk to a psychiatrist about things, things just seem to get more complicated the more they talk. The more they try to explain the world that's around you, and the more they try to explain ways in which you can cope with society, it seems like the deeper down the rabbit hole you go, and the more rules and regulations you find, or the more high-tech terminology. There's a song out there, Don't Worry, Be Happy, that people play. And it's actually kind of an uplifting song, and it kind of, I don't know, basically makes you feel better than you did before about the world being as nutty as it is. But sometimes I wonder if this isn't like some big old psychological operation, almost like that show where they had the dude on, on a movie set all his life and he never even knew it.
It's not. It's just a little song I wrote.
Yeah?
You didn't get that?
And you can sing it note for note?
There you go.
Don't worry, be happy. Well, I'm trying to be happy. I really honestly am. But, you know, every time I look after, because I got a big heart and I see people suffering and stuff, you know, it just bothers me. I mean, I guess that's part of what makes you human. If you ain't bothered by it, then that's kind of a disturbing thought. It's crazy when you really look out at all the issues in this world. It's chaotic. You know, I like a little bit of structure in my life. I like to be able to, know where things are at, and, you know where I stand in my little place or my little circle, or whatever. And when things just go,
if you have trouble going, just going with the flow.
Huh?
You have a problem just going with the flow?
Yeah, I like to have a little bit of organization. I don't want to be like the people that, if you ever. You really want to do a psychological analysis of the world, go sit down on a bench in a mall and just watch people. Just observe what they do, man. It's bizarre. Some of the things that people do in public and the way that they kind of dodge and bob and weave, and nobody likes to kind of like makes eye contact very often to talk to each other or socialize or anything like that. It's just like they're in a, I don't know, groove or something, and they're working their way around, dodging everybody and doing their thing or whatever. And you look at them and it's like, man, what's going on here? There's no structure, no organization. You know, like, there's a left side of the sidewalk and there's a right side of the sidewalk. Go to a rock concert, there ain't no side of the sidewalk, and you'll see everybody just kind of like going around each other, cutting through, and you know, it's like, if you're going this way, you walk on this side of the sidewalk, and if you're going this way, you walk on the opposite side. And instead, they're bouncing off of each other like pinballs.
Well, the rock concert, though, technically is the destination. You only see a direction whenever you see them coming in and going out.
Yeah.
Suddenly, they're all going the same direction. They're either all coming in or they're all going out. But while the event is going on, it's the destination.
Well, also, you gotta be able to assess your situation where you're at to see who the friendlies or potential dangers are in the crowd, and avoid using avoidance technologies or no, whatever. You know, just try to stay out of trouble, not step on anybody's toes or start a fight or anything like that, because you get crowds all riled up and crowds just get nuts. You ever seen like, be somewhere in public and there's a fight break out and you watch everybody just kind of run over there like just gather around in a big horde, a herd or whatever, and just either somebody's rooting them on or somebody's wanting to jump in, and it's nuts. I wonder, you know, because they talk about evolution and animal instincts and stuff like that. I wonder out there in the animal world if that really happens, like one animal attacking all the rest of them will come flying in to join in on the party or something. You understand what I'm asking here?
You not watch any nature shows?
Well, I know that dogs do that. if you get around the one dog that's a little agitator and there's a bunch of other dogs, when that one dog gets excited, they all seem to want to jump in there and chew on your leg too. They don't even know why they're trying to chew on your leg. You might be the nicest guy in the world, but it's because that one or two dogs is in there. It's nuts. Had that happen to me once. But,
well, they're concerned about your nicety. They're more concerned about what you're going to take from them.
Because they think I'm going to take their food or something?
Could be. Well, whatever they're concerned about, that's why why animals get territorial. Aren't you territorial? Do you or do you not have a title deed for your land?
Well, yeah, but I'm not like... pack mentality. I'm not like my family didn't come bailing around unless I'm being assaulted or something.
Right. And that's what you just witnessed whenever that one dog agitated and caused all the other ones to attack you because they've taken on a pack mentality to try to protect their area. And they're not sure what you're wanting to do, so their automatic assumption is that it's nefarious to drive you away so that that way they don't have to wonder what you're going to do because you can't do it if you're not there.
Well, you're making a good case for evolution because it like a lot of people act like monkeys when the time comes around to be see some Jerry Springer stuff all wanting to fight and feud and fuss.
Right.
I mean, man, I don't know. It's I don't know how you can find anything funny in this deal.
I told you that evolution doesn't tell you you came from monkeys. That's actually propaganda to try to discredit it. It says that we came from common ancestors, and that's why we look so similar. It's just one went one direction, the other one went the other way. And the only reason both exist is because there was enough room that the two species were able to get their own room and not fight over resources. Because otherwise, if, like we were just talking about this last night, if there's an evolutionary step in the human race, we're called Homo sapiens sapiens, right? And if there were the birth of a Homo sapiens superior, somebody who has genetic code differences, little glitches that basically are extremely beneficial, they're going to be better at competing for all resources around them, and what they will end up running into is resistance from the rest of humanity whenever they realize that this thing is able to take what they want and obtain it easier than they can get it. And if there is a lack, there's going to be a war. And if they are truly superior to the human race, then the human race is the one that's going to lose. They're going to be literally racist against the entire human race.
So basically, they'd go around and exterminate all of them.
Right. And if they're superior, they're most likely going to take the attitude of take out the strongest first because it makes it easier to pick off the weak.
Wow.
But can't coexist. That's what the evolution is story is dictating, is that when you have two similar species that are competing for the same resources, the one will exterminate the other. The one that has the traits that enable it to exterminate the other will do so because of the numbers, because there's so many numbers that statistically the one that's better at doing whatever it is it's doing is going to win. Now, if it's just a few, then you have the law of averages starts breaking down, and it's possible that the weaker species could actually still survive just through a fluke of nature. Maybe, you know, a strike of lightning takes out just the right percentage of the stronger species, and that the weaker species has no strength in their numbers. They can overcome the stronger individually species.
You realize how depressing that sounds?
I'm sure it does sound depressing. That's why most people don't really want to think about stuff like this. They want to focus on what's on their iPhone or their Android, or, you know.
Well, I started off today to try to find the funny things, the parts of people being crazy, but like I said, the more I got to digging into trying to find something funny, the more disturbing the information became. You know, there's like mental illnesses out there that they got like videos on the top strangest, top 10 strangest mental illness or mental disorders. And you have to ask yourself, okay, well, if these people are this bad, what was it, genetic? Was it synthetic? Or top 10 weirdest mental illness and disorders is one of the videos out there. Was it because of different chemistry? You know, like some people are immune to certain types of chemistry for some reason that don't bother them, but other people will have like a real crazy reaction. Like fingers on a chalkboard for one. That'll bother a whole lot of people. Fingers down a chalkboard drive a lot of people insane, but to other people, it don't even bother them. You see what I mean? You still there? Thomas, I lost you.
Hey, listen, man. If I'm quiet, that's because I've got my mic muted because you don't want to hear on the radio what I'm doing.
Oh, that squeaky chair that you got to grease?
I remember I have allergies.
Oh. Alright, well, so...
It really wasn't bad on the air.
Anyway, like some people are bothered by fingers down a chalkboard while other people don't even bother by it remotely. There's some people that just get really irritated by certain high-pitched noises or whatever. And, you know... So some of that could be...
I wish there was a chalkboard in here.
Huh?
No, I wish there was a chalkboard in here.
Oh, thank God there ain't. Yeah.
Because some people find it soothing.
I find it just like, ugh. Anyway, I'm just trying to figure out, well, some of them because of chemistry or brain damage, accidents, or whatever. There's got to be some underlying reason why, you know, birth defects or whatever due to environmental issues or whatever. You know, there's a big controversy out there about vaccines, about how they used mercury and stuff like that in vaccines and preservatives and stuff, and it was causing autism and different things like that. And so, you know, the whole world, I mean, it's like a plague of, I don't know, I hate to say stupid because I don't think everybody's stupid, but some of the things they do are, you know what I mean? Stephen Gibbons types in the chat room. He said, the way I deal with the chaos is to sit back and look objectively at what I am personally guilty of, what part of the chaos I'm responsible for. If you do that, it lightens your load as everyone seems to be buying into the guilt trip. They are trying to get us all to feel responsible for everything wrong in the world. Unless you're personally benefiting from the wars, the corporate takeover, and the destruction of the world, you don't have a lot to feel guilty about. Well, I understand what he's saying there. He's like, I feel guilty for people starving in the world. I'd feed them if I had to, you know, if they were in my neighborhood and I could get to them or get the funds to them or whatever. But it seems like that's one of the things that they've used as a tool against the people forever, you know, racist and all kinds of different buzzwords and terminology and key phrases or whatever that they use to try to divide people and to make you feel bad about things or to make you feel patriotic to go over, we got to go get these terrorists because they done... attacked us or whatever, and that's a war that never will end the way it's going. You know?
Right.
You remember?
Number one way to stop people from bombing your country is to stop bombing theirs.
Yeah. Well, like myself, I was raised as a patriot. I love my country. Alright, so my country got a few flaws. I can understand that. I can agree that there's a lot of room for improvement. But I was raised to love my country and to love other people. And you know, so I would defend my country if I had to. But in the same sense, I don't want to be used under a false guise of we're being attacked when we ain't being attacked. you understand what I'm trying to say here? I can't find the words to say it, but...
Hey, you're talking about, like, the conspiracy that 9/11 was perpetrated by people within our government to get us involved in a war, because those people in government maybe had stock in companies that basically manufactured tanks and bombs.
Yeah.
But using enough of them, buying enough of them, so they want to start a war so that they'd need more of them.
You know, a direct attack and you're forced to defend yourself, that's justifiable, right? Even though I don't, you know, like the whole idea of hurting people or killing or anything like that, but if you're backed into a corner and you ain't got no other alternative but to defend yourself, that's one thing. But if it's like what you explained, where corporations are literally starting trouble around the world so they can sell more weapons and ammunition... I watched this one show with Nicolas Cage in there, and I can't remember the doggone name of that movie, but essentially he was a gun dealer, and he was right. Selling to both sides of the fence.
Right.
It didn't matter whose war it was, he would sell to either side.
Right.
And that's pretty much kind of what that whole military-industrial complex is all about, man. There's millions and billions, if not trillions, of dollars involved in any war situation out there. And for people at home, whether they're ill-advised or are ill-informed or whatever, you say somebody came over and bombed killed 3,000 Americans, and everybody, all they know is the information presented to them. Maybe it did or didn't even happen. It's hard to say in today's modern age with digital technology, but nonetheless, you get everybody rallied around, and their young men and women are taking up arms and going to another country and fighting, and it's just a perpetual, never-ending war, like the whole supposed war on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there was a war on drugs, wouldn't it be over by now? You'd think. How many drug dealers are in the world?
That's kind of the problem, though, man. Every war on something that America has waged hasn't gone away. It's gotten worse. We have a war on poverty, and we have more people that are impoverished now than ever.
Well...
And a war on drugs, and now, you know, we can't even keep them out of our prison system.
I think that, for the most part, America and the actual initial idea of America, the American dream, and being able to succeed and live free and all that kind of stuff, I think that in the mindset of those who believe in that dream was a good thing. But if you factor in the disinformation and the propaganda and the craziness going on that came from the top down to the bottom, it makes you question a lot of stuff. You know, I don't want to see America go away because I like to be free. I like to go places and do things. But the more you look at things, you realize that you really never were free to begin with.
Right.
You know, you were born into a system where you have to have a certain documentation in order to get a job or join the military or do something, you know. And if you ain't got that documentation, you just... can't get nothing, you know. The Social Security number, whenever it first came out, it was specifically stated in the law that it was not to be used for identification purposes. Fast forward a few years into the future, and suddenly your Social Security number is attached to every doggone thing you got. Your driver's license, your medical, your school, your educational, whatever. And so now, it's like, when you look at all your identifications, you feel like your catalog. You feel like basically a number in a system, a part of the cattle, you know? A little tag on your ear that tells you you belong to such and such and your cow number or whatever.
Right.
I mean, I can understand under those circumstances why the world would go crazy. You know, while out there in the alternative media, people's always shouting about freedom and this and that, you know, and government corruption. But it seems like you can sit there and talk till you're blue in the face, and you just can't gather enough people to literally make a serious difference as far as actually getting together in a peaceful manner and fixing things, not going out there protesting, burning down your own neighborhoods, no justice, no peace kind of stuff.
Right.
Anybody can get violent, that's proven. But it takes somebody with some intelligence and some wisdoms to literally figure out a peaceful solution to fix things. You know, to make things right. Because one of the things I keep coming back to that just kind of won't leave my mind is there was a reporter asking a couple little Palestinian girls, said, do you ever want peace with Israel? And they's like, no, we hate Israel. They killed our mommy and daddy, you know? And that's like, not only is it heart-wrenching when you listen to those words, because you know that that's the next future warriors, and you got a never-ending cycle, because eventually they go over and they kill somebody else's mom and dad, and it just goes back and forth. How long have they been fighting over in the Middle East? 1,000 years or more? And they just don't seem to ever stop.
It's because they won't leave and find other resources somewhere else. They keep fighting over limited resources in a small region.
Well, one thing I can say about America, at least to some extent, we got what appears to be freedom, and we're not sitting here killing each other over resources on a mass scale, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe we are sort of robbing each other and stealing from each other or whatever.
I would say, why do you think riots happen? At the very base and the root of it all, it's all about resources.
Well,
resources and people's attitude about entitlement.
I don't feel entitled to nothing, but I do have hopes and aspirations for peace. I'm just tired of all the fighting, man. It just goes on and on and on. People, if you sit back and listen to all the deals on the mainstream media, you really can't choose a side, but you do. You find the side that is most closest to your own personal views on what things should be. You know that both sides of the fence on there, as far as governmental structure, are pretty much, bought and paid for. And you'd like to at least think that your vote did count for something. If not, at least to give you the satisfaction of saying, I went and this is the guy I voted for, or whatever. But in the long term, it's all got to wait. You got to wait around to see if your gamble paid off. You know, if the guy or gal
is a gamble.
Huh?
I'm glad you pointed it out that it is a gamble.
Yeah, because you never know. You never know if it's like right now, Trump being in office. There's people out there that are protesting against him and calling him everything under the sun, and Hitler and whatever. That, you know, it just goes on and on and on. But nonetheless, when the guy came to the table, he was saying everything that the majority of the people wanted him to say, and so at least word-wise, he managed to convince everybody to elect him. Now, whether or not he will, follow through with the promises kept and break up the corruption in Congress and the Senate and the government itself or whatever, and start giving the people back the freedom that they were supposedly having to begin with, we gotta wait and see. We gotta wait and see if that gamble played off, or if we didn't bite off more than we could chew and get the wrong guy in there. You never know. Because politicians and even businessmen will say whatever it is in order to get what they need, what they want. Which it's frustrating because I come from a time when people, supposedly your word was like gold, you know. Nowadays you need a contract thick as a phone book signed in blood with the promise of your firstborn in order to get anything done around here. And you, if you go out there and you try to figure out a way to, you know, try to get ahead in life, go out and get a loan for a house or something like that, you find out that you had bad credit before you ever even had credit. I mean, it's like no credit is just as bad as bad credit. You see what I mean? So
it's called Catch 22. You got to have a job to get experience, but you have to have experience to get a job.
Yeah. I experienced that too. I wasn't old enough to get a certain job for insurance purposes, and I wasn't old enough to get a job or have enough experience on the other side of the fence to be able to get the job. So I didn't get the job.
That's why we have something called entry-level jobs that people are fighting for, and they think that minimum wage should be set for the entry-level job. That people who are not working entry-level jobs, once they've got their experience, they've got their proof of who they are, what they're capable of, they're no longer a gamble. They're a solid bet now because they know that these people have been vetted. They're capable of doing what they say they can do. Should make those people should be the ones making a living wage, because you should have established yourself before you have to actually support yourself.
So
that you're supposed to stay at home and work from home for a place like McDonald's for less than what you could actually live off of to prove that you know, like you when you say I'm going to show up, you show up.
Yeah.
Just something as simple as that. You don't stay with it. At some point, you move on from that to a better paying job with somebody who's like, oh, I know you'll show up and you'll do what I tell you to, because as crappy as that job was, flipping burgers and dunking french fries and dealing with people being irate over there, a quarter being long, you still did your job. You still stuck around, still pushed through. You persevered.
Yeah, so that kind of means like you're being tested before you actually get really into the system. And the system being kind of broken before you get there. By the time you get there and all your aspirations or your what you thought that it was going to be once you got into the workforce, you found out that it wasn't all it's cracked up to be. Tons of people going to college and getting thousands of dollars in debt and coming out and can't even find a decent job. There's something really wrong with that.
Well, that actually goes, there's a whole other direction you have to get involved in there. The fact that the living wage doesn't last, that it gets eventually, like when you set the wage to where you can live off of it, within a few years you can no longer live off of it and you have to raise it again. That's because they keep inflating the amount of money that's in the system beyond the amount of people who are in the system to use it and the amount of resources there are to apply the money to. So now the resources have to go up in value on dollars. Okay? If you reduce the amount of money that's in the system, then the amount of money that it takes to buy something will go down. It's called deflation.
Well, that means...
Inflation is not companies being greedy and demanding more money for their product. Inflation is literally like a balloon. You have filled the balloon up with more air, and in this case, more dollars, and then the balloon expands, which means there's less material on the surface to go around. The balloon keeps getting thinner and thinner and thinner. What happens when you inflate it too high? It pops.
Well, essentially, the money men, in order to try to line their pockets in society, literally did society a great disservice by doing that.
That's why Lincoln didn't want to let them set up a central bank, and you see what got him.
Yeah.
The three people in presidency that have been shot have literally one thing in common.
And
that's that they bucked the system when it came to the central bank of the day. Lincoln tried to stop it. Kennedy tried to shut it down. Reagan started pushing to get it shut down, and he got shot.
Well, and then do you see that kind of same thing with foreign leaders as well? Like Gaddafi asked for gold instead of the dollar, and he didn't fare so well. And Saddam did the same thing. He didn't fare so well. I don't know who the next one in line.
Because those are easier. Those are a little harder to manipulate. It's not that they're not, that they're impossible to manipulate, but they are harder to manipulate because you can't just magic up gold out of thin air. You can't just go out and cut a tree down and turn it into gold. But you can turn it into paper, throw a little bit of ink on it, change the number, and suddenly the value changes. If you operate from within that system. How do you operate within that system if nobody's willing to do it? You get guns and point them at them.
Man. Stephen Gibbons typed in the chat room, he said, it is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society, and I guess it was a quote from Jiddu Krishnamurti. I have trouble pronouncing those different names. But yeah, I guess that's true.
Well, that's why there's been so many experiments, too, that people have been willing to try out involving currency. You remember E-Gold?
Yeah.
You remember the Liberty Dollar?
Yeah.
These are all people who realize that the system we're using now, the euro, the dollar, the U.S. dollar, the Canadian dollar, the Australian dollar, they're all a broken system. They're inherently flawed. And it's like being at the casino and all the games are basically rigged so that the casino wins. You might as a statistical anomaly walk out with more than you went in with, but when you look at everybody that goes in versus all the money that goes in and that comes out, more is going in than is coming out because the table is tilted. Steve. And in this case, it's tilted to those shadowy figures that own the Federal Reserve.
Stephen posted a link in there. He said there's a lot of solutions to corrupt flat currency, and it's got a link to www.perfecteconomy.com. Do you know what the words Novus Ordo Seclorum mean?
No, I can look it up. Obviously, it sounds Latin.
Yeah, look it up real quick.
Well, spell it out.
N-O-V-U-S.
Hold on. I didn't know you were actually going to put me to it, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go into the Google tab that I have up where I was searching for Killdozer.
N-O-V-U-S-O-R-D-O-S-E-C... L-U-R-U-M, I think.
Okay.
Novus Ordo Seclorum.
Oh, it might help if I did a search on all the videos. The phrase is the second day of two mottos that appear on the reverse of the back side of the ring.
Yeah, read them both.
Let's see. Well, I'm just looking at what it says in Google for the Wikipedia page. I haven't clicked it up. I was waiting for it to open. What is that? Enut Copius is the other?
Yeah.
And that translates to he, she, or it. Basically, improper pronoun has favored our undertakings. So, hold on. Sometimes mistranslates to as New World Order by people who believe in a conspiracy behind the design. But what does it actually mean, though?
Well, it all boils down to it ends up being order out of chaos. And I find that, really ironic that it would be on the dollar bill because it seems like... There's a lot of chaos come from the dollar bill.
Well, clearly what this is saying is it ultimately boils down to a new order of the ages.
Yeah. There's another Pluribus Unum, that was,
Is that like the strength of many?
Yeah, something like that. Basically. I can't remember. It's been a long time.
But it's in the list of things here. One out of many.
Yeah.
Or one from many. Okay.
Out of many comes one or something like that. Well, on one hand, they say there ain't no world conspiracy, but on the other hand, it says different on the back of those doggone bills, because it talks about New Order of the Ages and stuff like that, and, you know, you have to wonder if all this stuff with financial isn't intentional, because it's pretty much pasted right there on the back of the paper.
Well, they are something from the United States, which is a, when the United States formed, it was actually kind of a fairly new concept. In fact, it was so radical what we were doing here.
Yeah.
They tried to do it down in the Caribbean. They were called pirates.
Huh.
They were all people just trying to live themselves by their own hand and not be ruled by some king. And the people were just like, that's heresy. We've always lived under a king.
Stephen said, look on a dollar bill, Thomas, at the base of the pyramid. Yeah, it's just,
it's got a date on there.
On one hand, we're talking about, like, you know, people, like, say that there ain't no such thing as conspiracies going on, and there ain't no one world government or new world order, but yet, right on the doggone dollar bill, I can't remember which one of the phrases was order out of chaos. I've got it. Hate it when that happens. But nonetheless, that's one of the phrases that's bunched up in there with all the ones we just talked about. But it talks about order out of chaos, and that essentially you start chaos, and you rush in there like the savior of the deal, and you resolve it. You know, you rush in there like the cavalry. Yeah, look what we fixed it, everything. You know, follow us. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
In reality, they're the ones that started it. They started the wars. They started the financial problems. Surely these guys, being bankers, would have had to know that by manipulating the money like they do, that they could literally not only make themselves a lot of money, but cause a lot of havoc down the line for somebody.
Right. Well, they didn't care about the havoc they caused for other people, though, because as far as they're concerned, they feel they're entitled to the resources that those other people are going to be reaching to obtain, so they have a right to take it before they can have it, or to take it after they've got it from their bloody hands if they have to.
Well, on the conspiratorial side of the deal, back during the time when the stock market crashed and America was bankrupt, and the bankers came to the table to say that they'd bail them out, there's a conspiracy out there that talks about how they wanted some sort of collateral in exchange for bailing the United States out of bankruptcy. And so, essentially, that was what, in the conspiracy world, they talked about the reason for the birth certificate being basically like the title to your car. And that there were numbers on there that were actually able, you could actually look them up on the stock exchange. That's kind of disturbing, man.
So what was he talking about on the base of the dollar bill?
I didn't know. He didn't specify. He just said, look on the dollar bill, Thomas, at the base of the pyramid.
Well, it looks like it has in Roman numerals 1776.
Well,
wonder why they would put that down there.
I don't know. But either way, you know, look, you see the all-seeing eye, that's another one of the it's conspiratorial deals. You can sit there and look at that dollar bill and find out, it's not just on the dollar itself, it's on all the denominations of different stuff. And
Founding Fathers, the majority of them were Freemasons.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. And the sad thing is, most of them were speculative Freemasons, too, because it's been over 400 years since they've abolished their original tract with Freemasonry, where if there weren't enough Freemasons to support a lodge, you don't build it. You just don't build it, you know?
Yeah.
You go to the nearest one when there is enough to support it. If you're needing help, you go to them. Because, I mean, that's all it was. The Freemasons formed so that they could basically combat being taken advantage of for their building skills to construct all these places. Like, I mean, you think about it, okay? If it weren't for Freemasons and the knowledge that they have, we wouldn't have a single cathedral, or even houses that we can live in that are more than one story. We'd still be living in grass huts.
Well, underneath
it's just a study of construction, and they turn it into this huge mythological nonsense in order to protect their standing, their position to drain resources from other people through, well, you're my buddy. You gotta help me. You know, that's all it comes down to. It's like friendship is just basically, to these people, just a way of getting somebody to do something for you that otherwise they would never do.
Underneath the pyramid, well, I see not just the date on there, but that's where it says the Novus Ordo Seclorum, and at the top, Anuit, because I can't even pronounce it.
Well, that was the one I told you that it's basically saying that what we're doing is ordained by God or something like that.
Okay, so if you look...
It favored what you've done. It says it has favored our undertakings.
If you look at this... And you understand everything that's said on it. What would be the average Joe's takeaway of what they're looking at?
I don't know. If you look at that motto where it says he, she, or it has favored our undertakings, if Anunit,
yeah,
is part of that, Anunit is not too far from Anunnaki.
Wow. That just jumped on into another conspiracy. The Great Seal is on the back of there with that pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
And is that George Washington's eye looking out that?
Who knows? All I know is that when I see the pyramid, the only thing I can remember, the only thing that comes to mind, is how you hear this, everybody's equal in death.
Yeah.
And then you see a picture of a pyramid underneath that says, "Speak for yourself, peasants."
Man. Well, I don't know. That don't sound so crazy, man, after everything we talked about.
Uh-huh.
Because it just seems like everything is... it has to be intentional. You would think the leaders of the free world or the leaders of the world can't be stupid, otherwise they couldn't have got where they got. You know, unless you inherited trillions of dollars or whatever, and that's how you got there. But I don't think that's the case. I figured they were smart enough to know how to manipulate everybody's hearts, minds, and wallets, and that's how they got the power. Stephen typed in here, Anuit Coeptus, is that how do you say that? Meaning favors our undertaking. That's what you read. And
yeah.
The other motto on the reverse of the Great Seal, Novus Ordo Seclorum, meaning New Order of the Ages, can both be traced to lines in the Roman poet Virgil. A pluribus unum, Latin for out of many, one. So pretty much out of many countries or out of many people, you come under one umbrella. So it says on the doggone money that they do want a one world order. So right before your eyes, it's saying one thing, while on the other hand, you're a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy for mentioning what you see. And I have to say that had to have contributed to people going crazy, to people's insanity. Because if you actually jump in the rabbit hole and you go down and you look at all the different possible conspiracies, everything from JFK to 9/11 to all the different things that are occurring in the world, and you could come out of there of sane mind, and I'll tell you what, you had one strong mind to begin with, because once you get down in there and you start questioning everything that you ever knew or believed to be a potential, you've been misguided, or there's a bumper sticker out there that says death from or from birth to grave or something like that, slave from birth to grave. Have you ever seen that?
I think so.
And that's kind of... It sounds crazy, but if you look back about the whole birth certificate thing, Justin's wanting in. You want to add him? If you look back at the whole birth certificate thing, if we were really seriously used as collateral, we were basically bargained for or before we ever even was old enough to even get into a contract.
Kind of like being promised in marriage whenever you're only like two.
Yeah. Arranged marriages. There's a word for that. I can't remember what the name of that word is. Anyway, Justin tried to call in if you want to add him. This would be the subject that he probably he's probably well versed in. But either way, I'm just trying to figure it all out. It's all about trying to figure out where in the heck we stand in there. And that pendulum deal's got me thinking what you was talking about jumping off the pendulum and watching the thing swing back and forth or whatever. That seems like the best go. Just trying to figure it all out and drive you nuts. What do you think?
There are some that argue that human intelligence in and of itself is a sickness.
Well, our first question, biggest question in the world was, where did we come from? Are we alone? And all that kind of stuff. And looking out into the stars and wondering if we could go there. And, you know, if anybody would come from there to here. And trying to discover the meaning of life and all that kind of stuff. And I guess as you get older and some of them really seriously want to dig down to try to find the truth. And truth of past societies and... you know, what the real truth of history was and all that. But I tell you, the world has their work cut out for them. Literally. If you really want to know the truth of it all, you might be better off just waiting until you meet your maker and ask him or her, whatever the case may be. I don't know. But, did you hear me about Justin wanting in?
No, I did not.
No. Well, I'll say if you want to add him in, he's...
And where's the neighborhood, man?
Yeah.
Where's Barry at?
I don't know.
Even online, man.
Barry probably have a few things to say about this, too.
Hey, if Justin wants in, he needs to come online.
He's there. He tried to call me. You mean he tried to add him?
Tell him to set his status to online. I can't add him without that. From this account, I can't do it. If for some reason, it doesn't want to let me do that.
Let me try. So anyway, just trying to make sense of it all. Just trying to figure out where to go next. I mean, I follow the common sense road. And to me, that's the best way to go, down the common sense road. You know, don't stick your finger in the fire three or four times to know that it hurt the first time.
Right.
And so, utilizing some common sense, which isn't so common anymore.
Get it?
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, utilizing some common sense, which isn't so common anymore, you can seem to maybe a little bit, I'm babbling like a buffoon now, at the very least, try to keep yourself out of trouble.
A buffoon or a baboon?
Maybe both. I don't know. I'm starting to question my own history, you know. But they said it on the dollar bill. They said it in the conspiracy world. They've even actually said it on the news a few times, and presidents and stuff have said it. And we know that there's people behind the scenes that manipulate the money situation. And
I'm surprised you didn't bring up that news reporter saying that this is wrong, that the government's trying to tell people what to think. That's our job.
Oh, yeah. There's a good key point right there. It's our job. If there's any doggone leaked documents, it's illegal for you to have them. But you got to listen to us and see what's on them. Let's pass this bill so we can find out what's in it. Yeah.
But a bill isn't a law.
I don't care whether it is or it ain't. They said, she's right. Like, you read it before you pass it.
Right, but you see, this is where all these things come into play, like an act, a bill, a conduct, a rule. They're just, it's like, give me a second, if you have two kids playing Monopoly, right, the rules, the laws state this is how the game is played, right? That's the law. Now, when the bigger kid goes, well, I'm going to make it this way, I'm going to do that, those are bills, conducts, acts. That's what they're doing. It's called bullying, right?
Well,
the law that we live by, law that the three of us live by is do no harm.
Justin, what you're saying is Bill is a bully.
Bill is a bully.
I don't like Bill.
I don't like Bill.
You need to hang up on him.
Yeah, he Bill has a bad act, you know.
Well,
we don't have to go to court to make any pledges to anybody. When you have to go to court, that's asking somebody for permission. That person in the courtroom is thrall, right? That's servitude, slavery, serf, the feudal system. Serf, S-E-R-F, is another word for slavery, for the feudal system, an unbound to the bound system. Just like an incorporation to the corporation.
In our neighborhood, you don't go to court. They put a warrant out for you, and the men in black show up to drag you off the court. And if you decide to protest them dragging you off, they'll beat you toothless, shoot you if necessary, and haul you off to prison, and throw more charges on you.
Right. That's called escalation, which indicates that it's true that any threat of violence when it comes from somebody like that, is ultimately a death threat.
Yeah.
They're a threat to your life.
Right.
That's your taxes, we'll throw you off your land. Well, if you try to stop them from throwing you off the land, if they have to, they will shoot and kill you. And they'll bury you somewhere else. They won't even bury you on your land. They'll take you somewhere else and bury you. So they can then give the land to somebody else and get what they want for it.
Well, you know the terminology down low? You know, keep it on the down low?
Yep. You don't know what that actually comes from.
No, all I know is that I like to stay under the radar on the down low, stay out of their system, avoid it as much as possible, least interaction with any authority is best, as I can just stay out here on this land and never leave, I would do it. Because I don't know how to play their game. I don't have all their terminology. I don't have the money to pay them off, or might as well say bribe them.
There's no guns to fight them.
Yeah.
It's not from an individual standpoint.
So
the only way you're going to have enough guns to fight back against the government is if the entire populace is willing to stand against them. And how hard is it to get just three people to work together?
Well, that was my point earlier. That, you know, I look at the world and I see we got solutions. I see we got all the answers to every problem necessary, but it requires a mass undertaking at a grassroots level to peacefully bring about change in this world, real change, not what you promised through the government, politicians, and stuff like that. I mean, like, if you want people to have certain knowledge, you teach them how to do it, you build it, and you show them that it's possible. And we build a system beside the corrupt system, and then when the corrupt system's no longer necessary, like right now, you can't just jump out of the system. You can't do it. I mean, if you want to not, like let's say, for instance, just a driver's license alone. If you want to travel, and you ain't got a driver's license in today's society, you better not get pulled over because they'll do you in on that. And so you got to figure out ways of modes of transportation. You can't just ride a horse down the side of the freeway because the law enforcement will show up. You can't just get a horse and buggy and drive it out there without following certain deals. Like if you ever noticed, the Amish community have these placards on the back of their buggies to say, you know, slow moving vehicle or something like that, and give you a caution warning because you got cars flying by and all that kind of jazz. So even when you're outside of the system, you still have to worry about certain parts of the inside of the system that you're going to have to interact with to get from point A to point B. So, if you give up your driver's license, there's a mode of transportation gone. Normally, you could go to and fro as long as you had insurance and proof of registration and a driver's license. You could travel, you know, around. But if you try the whole free man on the land thing and go out there with no driver's license, if you don't know everything there is to know about the law and the differences of regulations and terminology, you can give your consent right over to the police to do all kinds of terrible things to you.
Well, this is the thing, though.
Right.
You go out there and start pushing against the system like that, what makes you think they're going to ask for your consent?
Well, that's the thing. They won't. They'll use whatever technicality or whatever they can to do whatever it is that they feel necessary to do.
Right, and then they put you in the psychosis of fear. Because why? Don't want to go to jail. Oh my God, he's going to go to hell, right? You're not going to make bail.
No, if you refuse all of that, and you don't give them any opportunity to go to legally take care of you, then you just disappear.
Yeah.
Take you out of the field and shoot you and just leave you.
Well, I think that's been done in society too. You get too close to the wrong subject. And if you don't agree to shut your mouth and hand over the documents or the prototype, then suddenly you don't fare so well.
That's slavery, right? Those are permission slips. When you have to go and file for the freedom of the right to travel by any means, you're not going for commerce. When you're going in your car and you're going down to the store and you're going to get some milk, that's not commerce. You're traveling.
But see,
and you have the right to travel by any means. You don't drive a horse, do you?
No. See, the problem is, though, you've been in the system so long, and most people are raised up thinking there are certain things that you have to abide by in order to be able to do certain things. And so, at least I'd say 85 to 90% of all the people out there working within the system haven't got a clue that there ever was a difference. That's like right now, if they went and took away the Constitution a couple generations down the line, people wouldn't even know they ever even had rights. It'd be gone. You see what I mean? It was all normalized. That's why everything's normalized. You can't backtalk the teacher because you'll get kicked out of school. You can't backtalk the police because you'll get thrown in jail. You can't... There ain't no real freedom of speech, because if you say the wrong thing in the wrong courtroom, you're going to jail. Just for the words coming out of your mouth. You see what I mean? It's... the system... It's been around so long, and I guess portions of it goes all the way back to terminology used in Rome. You see it on the dollar bill. They're saying that they want to bring everything together and order out of chaos and a new order of the ages kind of thing. But then you don't want to talk about that because it's taboo. Because if you say that there's a one world conspiracy out there to depopulate the planet or come us under one world government or a cashless society where now the bankers have 100% control over whether you live or die, go to war, or can even get food for that matter. That's creepy, man.
Well, we have lots of food.
Sure we do. That's the whole thing about this entire system. If you utilize what you have without asking permission for it first, of course, if you ask the man if you can buy, you can grow your own food and sell it to your neighbor, he's going to say no under some guise of health and safety. You have to be inspected before you can take your milk over and sell it at the market or something, you know?
When my girlfriend was pregnant, we were driving down to Florida. When we went across the border, they took her clementines, and she craved clementines. It's like they came from Florida. Like, we're going back to Florida. Would you get me your clementines?
Well, You know, I understand that there's some sort of major, like fruit fly. You don't want in this neighborhood because they really ain't supposed to be here. They're not natural to the environment or whatever.
But the orange is good. It is natural to the environment.
Yeah.
It's shipped from Florida all the way to where I am, all the way to Alaska. It comes from that land. Like, these are, there's Bill again. Hi.
I don't know, but see, the more that people, the farther we get into this mess, the more that people are basically, this is all normal to them, and the farther we get down the road away from what the whole true meaning of freedom was to begin with, the more complex it gets, and the more the power structure is able to, you know, the red light cameras, that's a prime example. Oh, well, we're not going to use these to write citations or anything. We're just going to use this for, like, public safety so we can have, you know, see if there's a wreck at this particular intersection or something like that. Well, it only took maybe a year or two before they did start writing tickets using those cameras. But they flat out lied to get the thing in place. Once the infrastructure was in place, it didn't stop there. It went all the way to now when you pull up to the light, it takes biometrics of your face, knows exactly who you are, can literally track you from camera to camera, wherever you go, man. And there was a George Orwell's, what is it, 1984? Is that the one I'm thinking of? Is that the video where it talks about thought police and stuff? Do you know Thomas?
What's up?
George Orwell's 1984, is that where the thought police was? You can go to jail. Something you might.
I think so. In 1984, they were rewriting history so that it basically dictated that they were, you know, they were right and everybody else was wrong. But they had ways of watching everybody.
Yeah.
So, I think they abolished emotions and stuff like that, too. Like, you weren't allowed to have emotional attachments and whatnot to other people because then you... They saw it as basically you would potentially choose that person over the system.
Well, all I can say...
There's a little phrase, too, that's been flying around now for a number of years thanks to that book called The Answer to 1984 is 1776.
Well, there you go. Either way, it's a win-win for the guys at the top because we all get to fighting amongst each other. And they make money because they're the ones already got the infrastructure to sell all the weapons. We have to buy from them in order to get the doggone stuff we need to defend ourselves.
Right.
Ain't that a mess?
Have you looked at Killdozer? Look that up.
It's like...
K-I-L-L-Dozer.
It's like playing Monopoly with my older brother, man.
It's the B and the U in Bulldozer to K-I.
Yeah.
Seriously, go look it up when you get a chance. Look at the news reports on that.
Well, I'm typing it in right now. See what happens here. Marvin Haymore? Haymeyer? Is that what that is?
Uh-huh.
Marvin...
Brent Colorado.
Marvin John Haymeyer was an American welder and automobile muffler repair shop owner most known for his rampage with the modified bulldozer. Oh, like, yeah, that's what it was on the news where he's running down through the doggone street and mowing things down.
Yeah, he specifically targeted all the businesses of people who tried to take his business from him through legislation.
Man.
Because they couldn't afford to buy it. He got it at an auction, and he even tried to sell it to the guy that was trying to get it from him. That started using the local government to try to basically drive him out, raising his taxes unnecessarily high and whatnot. So when he tried to sell it to him to get out from underneath it, the guy wouldn't pay for it. Instead, he was just insisting on taking it from him was what he was saying. Wow. So he saw this conspiracy. He saw these people he believed were connected together in this conspiracy, and he went to town and mowed down half of their buildings, including City Hall. The moral of the story, though, that they're trying to push is that he ended up shooting himself inside of that thing when it ran out of, the thing broke down and he couldn't go anymore, got stuck or something. So, if you try to fight the system, you end up dead. You might knock down a couple buildings, but you end up dead. Yeah. What they're not willing to say is, oh, as angry as he was, he didn't hurt a single person. All he did was tear up people's property. Well, that he felt done him wrong. He wasn't even trying to run over the people who did him wrong. So he wasn't willing to kill the people over what they were doing to him, even though it drove him to the point where he killed himself. So they basically killed him.
I posted a link to the news footage of that episode there. Man, what a mess.
Oh, yeah.
But it just goes back to the same question. Has the world gone insane? I mean, literally, this system has really, literally driven people over the edge. You know, even if you just want to talk about the way that the mainstream media basically puts fear in everybody, like Justin was saying earlier, as long as you're in fear, you know, you're pretty well, you know, you're willing to give away something, you know, your rights or something in order to not be in fear anymore.
Well, it's the thing, right? We have natural laws to protect us. We should never have to go and think before anybody to justify our rights.
Sure, right? I agree. And you, I agree, you agree, Thomas agrees, but how are you going to get the average population, the masses out there, to recognize that they even have that option and then be able to implement it without having to have some massive battle with the power structure out there? For example, if we decide we're going to go against the system and just say to heck with it, at any time they could come out and say, next morning, well, look at this. Since you guys acted like this, now your money ain't worth nothing. It's worthless. And unless we agree to go ahead and use the money anyway and trust each other for the merchandise or whatever, then they could literally wipe out the entire society by you ain't got no paycheck, why even go to work?
See what I mean? You guys, America specifically, seen something already happen. During all these blue-white lives matters stuff, this drama that is caused, remember in New York City? You know, when we talk about the majority awakening, which is consciousness, right? Actually being available to do things for yourself, right? Not having a quote-unquote cognitive problem. The majority already awoken then. Remember when all the police in New York City turned their backs to the mayor? That's the majority, because the majority is the people that work for the governments, because they live the good lives, right? They have the steady income, right? They can go golfing and get their steaks and go to wherever, the Bahamas, right? Where the poverty in the middle class. The mechanic 20 years ago that was the mechanic is still making the same wage he is now. Where inflation has gone up, so the poor people, the people on welfare, and the people with minimum wages, that gap has bridged. They're both seeing the same thing now. They're both in the poverty class, where the rich are gotten richer. There's 470,000 rich people in America.
Sure, but even
and then there's still 399 million other people that are in poverty.
Even in all that, you still got the same people that, because of their lifestyle and the benefits they have for working for the system, will always fall back to the phrase, "I was just doing my job." And so, taking up arms against your own citizens and doing the things that you do in your mind,
right,
are justified because you was just doing your job, you know?
Right, and you have a family and you have mouths to feed, right?
Yeah,
well, that's why they have these whistleblowing acts.
How many people in this,
right,
world
you
were
can't
just
rat doing, on another government official?
Yeah. Well, how many people in this world were just doing their job when terrible things happened?
Right.
You know? Look, I don't look down on any of the military people that had to go to war, because they were under the guise that they were going to fight for freedom and justice in the American way. But once again, then you have to actually sit down and ask the question. Here's a crazy deal that went on in history. You can look this up. Back during World War I or World War II, they had a lot of soldiers that came back that had the same amount of ammunition that they had when they left. And so they were trying to figure out methods by which they could get the military to actually fire their weapons at the enemy. And so what they ended up doing was basically a mind trick where they started desensitizing people shooting at the figure of a person, because if a person's several hundred yards out, all you see is a silhouette. So now if you go to the police department or the military, you'll see that they don't shoot at little bullseyes anymore like they used to back in those days to see how efficient you were with a firearm. Nowadays, you're actually shooting at a target that is shaped like a human. You see what I mean? And then you actually have these shoot or don't shoot drills to where, so that when you're out there in public, that you'll shoot at the bad guy, but you won't shoot at the innocent person out there. But a lot of times if you watch new officers being trained in this process, a lot of times some of the citizens out there don't fare so well because it's a high-stress situation, and if you don't recognize that Granny had a gun and you didn't shoot Granny, Granny shot you, and the bad guy was the kid with the book that really did have the gun or whatever. It's crazy if you really watch how people were desensitized to actually pulling the trigger. And that's the whole difference between the military guys back in World War One and Two and things prior to that, was that people had moral beliefs and they didn't want to pull the trigger. They thought it was wrong. You know, when you actually get down to shooting and taking somebody's life, and you're fighting with your conscience over whether or not to do it or not, they had to get the people away from thinking about it to just react. And you know, that's your modern day warrior, man. And when they come up out of war zones and then they got all this going on in their head about things that they had to do or whatever, and they can't cope with society anymore, they usually end up falling through the cracks of society. It's sad to see where this world's going.
Like I said, there's a lot of mom and pop shops. I walk down the street here, there's about 10 stores that are empty on the main street. It's actually called East Main Street. The only thing that they've built new is a new courthouse, a new city hall, and now they're building a new court, a new holding facility there. Like, where's all the places for the children? Wow. You see, I was born in 1984, okay? Now there's Generation X, there's the baby boomers, and all these generations. I'm a millennial, right? I was born in 1984. I was born with DOS and Microsoft in my hands. Right? New technology to me is nothing. Old technology to me is nothing, because why? I had fathers to teach me how to do those things, right? So I'm stuck in between the children that are being born now and the adults that, you know, they have no clue what to do, because those adults, they did grow up in a good time. There were jobs, there were all that stuff. And then all of a sudden now there's big change. And the children, they're growing up with, they're being taught sex ed in grade one, and all the rap music and everything now, it's bad.
Well, Paul Harvey said it back in 1965. Just go listen to his clip, If I Were the Devil. It don't matter what your religious beliefs are or anything like that. You just go listen to what he said, and you're seeing it now. And as far as the mom and pop shops, they were all regulated out of existence and or beat by big corporations like Walmart and Kmart and people who could sell it cheaper because they, you know, bought it in larger quantities. So pretty much, we allowed the big business industries to run mom and pop out of their shops. And, you know, instead of going there buying it from them, maybe spending an extra dollar for something, you decided that you needed to save some money because of the economy or whatever purpose, and you went to Walmart and Kmart, never mind the fact that these bigger corporations were abusing people to get their merchandise.
So is the question is America the greatest country in the world?
I don't even want to answer that question because it's a loaded question that should never even have been asked. I think all countries out there are the greatest country in the world as long as they treat their citizens the way that they were supposed to be. Their representation, Canada, Australia, all the different nations out there, if they represented their citizens to what they promised from the get-go, then those are the greatest countries in the world. So I don't sit here and try to put America above everybody else out there. You know, they say that America's the only superpower, but that ain't my view of America. America's
Specifically, there is something happening in the British countries, right? Like Australia, America, Canada, and Britain itself, right? Where we see, we'll use Jermaine as a very good example, right? He still sees the old era, like when your day was. They dress in formal clothes, right? He's learning three languages, right? And look at the mechanics, the equipment that he works on. It's the stuff that you would have worked on as a child, right? They said first world, second world, third world, they're controlling population fluctuation of the feudal system, which feudal, if you break it in half, is the cattle and goods. They control us. How we grow. We're chickens. That's what it is.
Well, yeah. Stephen Gibbons typed in the chat room. He said, it's a fascinating subject. The words we use and the spelling they can cast on you if you don't understand or stand under. And he's got to put a link down there. It's like that. Exactly what he said. If you go to court and you don't know the right terminology, you basically give jurisdiction to that court and so on.
Right. The whole understand and stand under is standing, which is locus standi in Latin. When you go to court, you do have standing. And they worship oral law, which is Judaism, goes back to Talmudism, right? They make you believe that they worship written law. You have to file. File is an anagram for life.
Well,
you see, they get you in that psychosis, and then when you go to court, you're shaking. You don't even know how to talk.
Well,
right?
That's why I say
you gotta get past that because you're in that fear. You're gonna go to jail, right? You're not gonna make the bail. You're gonna go directly to hell, right? They get people like that fear.
That's why I say that I don't like to have any interactions with anybody of perceived authority, whether or not I believe them to be authority over me or not, is regardless, nonetheless, whatever. Because I know how the system functions out there and that I don't know enough about the terminology or the law in order to protect myself from whatever, whether it be a statute, a law, a regulation, or all the differences therein, can't remember enough to protect myself. So I use the avoidance. I try to avoid it at all costs. I don't speed down the road unless maybe the path is really clear. And I gamble and hopefully win. But for the most part, I'm using avoidance tactics like you would use if you was playing a game of Pac-Man. You watch out for the ghost, you stay away from them, you stay home and on your own property as much as possible so that you don't have to interact with the system, because one misstep in that system means you pay somebody money or you lose your freedom or whatever. So I just try to just stay as far away from it as I can. Now, see, getting on this radio show right here has some sense of safety because I'm like in my own home and I'm talking on the computer. But nonetheless, if I make the wrong people mad, well, there's retribution to be paid or whatever, you know. I can get got for saying the wrong doggone thing. Next thing you know, the men in black are jackbooting my door. And if you got to live in that kind of fear in a world that's supposed to be supposedly the land of the free and the home of the brave and such, then there's something wrong with this big picture. I love America because it's my home country. I love America because I believe in the American dream and I believe in the United States Constitution. But I am literally living in fear of my government. I'm literally living in fear of the people of America. I'm afraid of America. And that's sad, because I used to, when I was younger, I used to love, I thought America was it. But for those folks out there that don't live in America, that look down on America, first you need to look in on your own towns and your own cities and your own governments, and you need to question whether or not yours is any better and whether you're even freer.
When we say America, we should say Americas, because this is the country of Americas, right? North, mid, and north, central, and south, right?
Well.
And so, when the president gets sworn in, he gets sworn in by who? Right? And when prime minister gets sworn in, he gets sworn in by who?
Look, I don't think...
They're both of the same. Whoever swears them in, I'm not going to get into who it is because it can turn into a debate, right?
Hold on a second. I don't think that the United States of America, when we supposedly won our independence from Britain, I don't think that we ever completely got out from underneath the rule of the queen or the king.
If you go to a courtroom, behind the judge is a crown, and she sits on the bench, which the etymology of bench is bank. And whose bench does she sit on? Well, the crown is behind her, so she sits on the bench of the crown, right? It's a global syndicate.
Sure.
A world banking global syndicate.
Sure, but
it's like one child playing Risk by himself having fun.
Sure, but see, there's something going on out here that is vast, and it's worldwide, too. It's a kind of anti-America campaign of some sort. You know, there's a terminology out there that mainstream media doesn't like to use because it offends somebody who's of Islamic faith. But if you say radical Islamic terrorist, then you like automatically saying you got a war against all the people of Islam, which is not the case. It's the people that abuse it. The same thing in the Christian community and other communities out there. And so when people paint with a wide brush on any of those belief systems, or paint with the wide brush of Germany, not everybody in Germany was a Nazi. Not everybody in Russia was a, you know, communist coming to get you, vice versa, whatever. And the America, if the person like myself, who was raised up with decent morals and beliefs of you know, one nation under God, with a constitution, with rights and freedoms and all that kind of stuff, and some patriotism, this is what I believe, and this is what I believe that the majority of the American people believe in, at least the ones in my generation. All right? So when I hear anything negative towards America, as in America so bad because of what all the terrible atrocities that may or may not have occurred in the past, I get frustrated because I know that the average Joe doesn't want to go over and have war with people. The average Joe doesn't want to go over and bomb people into the Stone Age. The average Joe just wants everybody to be free, you know, and we love immigrants. We like immigrants coming over here, but there is some sort of balance in there. When, like, for example, the Mexico situation, it's okay to immigrate from Mexico. As long as you come here, you want to, you know, follow our set of rules or whatever and try to blend in and become an American citizen or whatever. But it's no longer immigration when you come over and you're flying your country's flag, a country that you left because of some reason or another that it wasn't a very good place to be at the time. And now you're waving your flag around as if, you know, it's not immigration. Now it is invasion. You understand what I'm saying? And so, from my generation, the perception of what's going on right there, I'm not happy with that. I don't like drugs and guns and violence coming across the border in either direction. And I love immigrants. I love people coming from all over the world. We
got to look at the fact too that, you know, we call them Mexicans. They did live in California before the Christopher Columbus ever did come out here. The natives were here.
Sure.
Right? That wall is so fictitious.
Sure. But
you know, like the right, you know, like. like you're saying, I mean, anybody should just be able to make a nice little forest, you know, take a four poles or take the four trees and make a square and make that a nice place and live there and be happy.
Sure.
That's freedom, right?
In a perfect world, that would be the case. You just find your little plot of land that nobody else has got, you know, and you just go to the, live on it and take care of it and that kind of stuff, and there ain't no borders and all that. But unfortunately, history's proven we don't live in a perfect world. And I'm sad for what happened to the Native Americans during American history. I'm sad for what happened to the Chinese, to the Scottish and the Irish and the Japanese. And, you know, my bloodline goes back to, I got Cherokee heritage in my bloodline. I got French Canadian in my bloodline. You know? And so who am I supposed to hate? Who am I supposed to be angry at? I'm angry at the system that has literally put people in the position to be afraid of their own countries and their own governments. You see what I'm trying to say here? That's what I'm angry at. I'm angry at the lies and the propaganda. I'm angry at the changing of the history. History should have been documented down with the facts and the truth and truth alone. But they say that basically the victor writes the history books, and so you can say whatever you want. You see what I mean?
So when is this true awakening of this deliverance or liberation of the revolution going to actually happen, right? That's what everybody's looking for. They're all trying to wonder when it's going to happen, because nobody knows what to do anymore, and they don't know where to go.
I think that a true awakening will only happen after a massive calamity. I mean, where you're literally forced to do or die. I think that's the only time that there's ever going to be a true awakening. And as sad as that makes me, because I'd love to get out here and shout on the radio and get people motivated to trying to work with their own communities, and we do the best we can with what we got to work with. But outside of that, unless somebody's forced to learn, have to learn certain things, or starve to death, like how many people out there know how to go hunting? How many people know how to field dress a deer or something like that, or cook a fish? If you look at it, for the most part, your generation has been pampered to the extent where you got all kinds of technology that will give you the answers for you, but whether or not you utilize that to learn as much as you can. You see what I mean?
Right, like when I was younger, it was just like 16, 17 years ago, I had a girlfriend, right, and a couple, but she brought high heels and a blow dryer camping with me. And it's like, what are you doing? That's what you're saying by incompetence. When does a child no longer need a parent and grow out of its incompetence? Right. Well, we can't put blame on the children because we can't blame the adults, because both have a moral upstanding to grow out of that incompetence, right? Like I could say, oh, my water's all poisoned because your generation did this and that and hasn't made change. But when do I make change for my daughter? When do I take that burden as well, right? You see, that we can't blame each other's generations or each other, period, right?
Well, I'm thinking that I live by the motto, I'm responsible for my own actions, all right? And when I was growing up, I didn't have the best father in the world, and I probably didn't have the best circumstances to grow up, but I learned from all those kind of things so that someday down the line, it's like people that are grown up in abusive relationships. I'm not saying for the most part my life was abusive, but my father wasn't very good. All right, but nonetheless, I personally learned enough from the right people to break those chains and not to repeat that to my children. So I kind of changed the direction that my bloodline would be going as far as teaching people morals and ideas that I'd learned, you know, that would tell you, you know, to basically do unto others as you want them to do unto you kind of thing. So there is hope that we could actually steer the future generations in the right direction as far as the way we treat each other and the way we treat our planet. But it's got to be it can't be like you do it one day a week and then, you know, forget about it. No, not when the idea is fresh in your mind. You do this as a lifestyle. You teach people as much as you can and try to be as decent as you can and live by example. That's the best we can do. We got a huge system that we're so intertwined with that it literally seems like an impossibility to do what it is that we're talking about. But as long as you support that same system that we all have problems with, there's always going to be I hate America people. There's always going to be, you know, I hate China or whatever. I hate Mexico. There's always going to be that kind of deal for people's perception as long as we don't come to some sort of understanding that everything we've done in the past should have been a life lesson that should have taught us something and not to be repeated. Raymond's always saying that, you know, if you ignore history, you're bound to repeat it. I'd like to see us move forward into a better world to where we take all those past mistakes and we do everything in our power to break those chains and never repeat that again. It's not all right to go over and bomb another country, you know? If the country is all a full all-out attacking you and you gotta defend yourself, that's one thing. But under the guise of any so-called war on guns, a war on drugs, a war on terrorists or whatever, there's the terminology and the manipulation that the people at the top who are actually making the money off of the military-industrial complex are taking us to the cleaners. And for our effort of patriotism or hard work and nation building or whatever, what we end up with is mental illness and craziness and propaganda and nasty movies or whatever. Go back and listen to what Paul Harvey said, man. Seriously. If you can't understand that in 1965 somebody seen a bad moon arising, then you ain't paying attention. If things were that bad back then that he started noticing things that if you keep going down the path you are, you'll be right here where we are today in 2017, where we got people arguing over whether men or women can go in which bathroom and stuff instead of going out there feeding the hungry and sheltering the homeless and stopping the wars. That's ridiculousness to me. That's a complete and utter lack of common sense. You know, we're taught that we got to be more accepting of other people's things that we don't agree with.
In my generation and the generation, the newest generation, look what they see on the television, look at the way everything is. See, with poverty also, people end up having, you know, four or five kids, or even just two kids, but the parents themselves grew up with the video games and the Homer Simpson and all this too, so they already see it and they slough it off, right? So the kids are seeing it even on a higher grade. Like, I grew up with rap and stuff and baggy pants, right? You know, which is my generation. You guys grew up with Kiss, Knights and Satan's Service, right? You know, the whole thing. It's always putting it off on another generation. But when do I make change? Now I see on TV, like, rap, okay, they used to, you know, they had pretty girls and stuff like that, and they used to say words, but not as vulgar as what they say now. They actually say, like, I don't even want to repeat them. Like, I don't, they're that bad. And they refer to women, like, it's disgusting. So how do I get that off the TVs? How do I make change? How do I make the kids listen to Mozart again?
Well,
right?
Maybe personally you can't by yourself do it. But if you actually decide that you don't approve of it and just don't watch it, maybe it'll still be on there. But nonetheless, at least you held up to your standards and didn't go for it. And the more people that come to that realization like you did, the less people are going to be watching it. And the less people that are watching it, the less their ratings will be, the less money they're going to make off of advertisement. You support them every time you go on there just to watch all the craziness in the election cycle. You support Walmart and Kmart and all the big corporations every time you go to buy their products, you know. You got power in your money. You got power in your actions. You could literally not buy from them. You could literally not support them by not even watching them or listening to them or helping them spread their propaganda. You see what I mean?
The kids are bored. We got to look at just the kids are completely, because if I was to say, if I had any religion or any common belief as anybody else, I think the biggest common belief we should have and the person that we should worship is our children, because they're the future. They're our gods. When we watch our children be born, all that thought and everything, that's the God. Right? They're the future. That's what we shouldn't worship anything out of a book. Moral sense, common sense, and what we've created, because man can create anything with their hands, but you can't create a child. And that's the greatest gift we have.
Well, I don't have all the answers, Justin. All I got is whatever I've perceived of my common sense situation and my belief systems or whatever, and that's the best I got to work with. And if I look out there into the world, I'm not expecting anybody to change, you know, to suit me or anything like that. I'm just expecting everybody to understand that we all have differences. We all have differences of opinions and ideas. And, you know, if you're living with all these different of opinions and ideas, there's no two people in the world exactly alike, even, you know, identical twins.
They got their own
soul, their own ideas and stuff. And so you have to understand that you're unique in yourself, and you have to be able to live with all the rest of the people out there that aren't going to agree with you.
That's right. And we can't act as individual bullies and go behind each other's backs and bring Bill into this and let him act upon it, right?
Well,
that's what everybody's doing. Everybody's, they go. Like, what did the police say a while ago? They said, well, if you see something, call us in and tell on them, right? They 1-800 Crime Stoppers on the back of the police cars, right?
They're only giving people what they want, too, because how often do you hear somebody upset about something and go, well, there ought to be a law against it.
Well, right.
Yeah. Hit a key point. You pretty much, the folks out there listening, whether you like it or not, you pretty much find a way to regulate yourself out of freedom by, instead of trying to work it out with your neighbor in a peaceful manner and compromise, you call somebody from a third party in to be the mediator in the situation. And 9 times out of 10, that mediator's packing a pistol, man. So you just called in the thugs to try to sort something out with your neighbor that you could have just said, look, you know, I'll come over and help you mow your grass so we can get it down to where all, both of our yards look alike. If you don't mind me helping you out, then I'll do that, you know, or something. But that, to me, would be common sense. The other side of the spectrum is you call in the law, man, and you get your deed done by force. And then the next time around, when it's shoes on the other foot, you can't complain because the law man come over and kicked your door in. You see what I mean? So, how do you educate an entire community of people out there in the world to try to make them understand? The power is you.
No idea.
The power is you. You the people. And I ain't talking about going out there starting some pitchfork riot or whatever, going out there violently overthrowing your government and all that kind of stuff. I'm basically talking about in your own particular life, in your own particular communities, as far as your reach is and your extent of what you can accomplish, you do the best that you can do and you set the example for your children and those that come after. When you do that, you'll notice a big change in the world. And if you don't agree with what's on the radio, then shut it off. If you don't agree with what's on the doggone TV, then shut it off. If you don't agree with what the doggone big corporate stores are selling you because of how they got the stuff, then don't buy from them. Go buy from mom and pop again. Pay an extra dollar, you know. Take your money and put it into your community that way. There are so many simple solutions to resolving the issues of a corrupt system that we have the unfortunate to live in. It's not just here in America, Justin. You know it's in your country as well. It's in every nation out there. There's corruption galore because money is power and power is money and vice versa. But keep in mind also, knowledge is power as well. Now, if you make yourself knowledgeable in any subject, then you're better off to protect yourself if you do find yourself up in their courtroom. You'll be able to know what not to say and what to say in order to come out of there possibly a winner. But if you go up there knowing what I know in court and open your mouth, you hand them over jurisdiction and basically get yourself fined because you don't know the right words to say. Me, personally, I go into court, I'll argue with the judge. I'll tell the judge if I think she's stupid or corrupt or whatever. That don't go over well. You see what I mean? I'm just going to be flat out honest with my terminology that I know how to speak. And when I get in there and I talk about the Constitution, they don't want to hear it because they don't care about the Constitution. They're not there to protect your rights. They're there to make money. And that's why maybe people get mad at me when I say things like the police department has become armed revenue generators for the state. But look at their record, man. Are they out chasing the guy that's stealing the tools out of the back of the working man's truck? Or are they out there pulling over the speeder and taking his hard-earned living money from his electric bill or his food bill? And so that next month, when they pay that fine, he can't afford his medicine, or he can't afford the food for the kids, or he can't afford to keep the lights on. And so that system is just making things worse, because maybe now that guy is going to go out and steal the tools out of another man's truck. You see the perpetuation in that? When people are forced into going out there stealing for food or survival, that's why society is the way it is. And if the corruption of the government's gotten to the extent that it's literally keeping the people down, there's societies that you grow up in, communities that are impoverished, and the crime is high in that neighborhood because they don't have all the options available as some other neighborhood. Well, why aren't your governments over there trying to lift them up, to give them the things that they need so that they're not having to fall through the cracks of society, become meth addicts or whatever? It's not that we can't do it, folks. It's just that you can't rely on somebody else to do it. It's that simple. Well, my grandfather used to say, if you want something done, you got to get up and do it yourself. Ain't nobody else going to do it for you. Nobody's going to fix your community but you. You get your people of like minds together, you gather in your networks, and you guys get out there and you find the problems in your society and your communities, and you work on fixing them. You know, there's, I said it and I know it sounds ludicrous, but if you're standing there protesting Save the Trees and you got a wooden stick with a paper sign, that's kind of counterproductive to your argument when you could have just went out there and planted a new tree. You understand what I'm trying to say here? I don't have all the answers in the world, but I got enough common sense.
Right. All you can do is focus on yourself and your own little community, right? Just like, if I take Canada, okay? How much money has Canada donated for aid for other countries, right? If we do focus on ourselves and our communities, right, then we can do more. We can't focus on somebody else when there's so much poverty going on here.
Well, you hit a key point there, Justin, that some people seem to overlook sometimes. If you don't take care of yourself, there's no way that you're going to be strong enough to take care of others. If you're not healthy, how are you going to get out there and take care of very many people? If you if you don't have financial stability to where you can actually get out and do things to be able to afford to fly somewhere and, you know, help somebody firsthand, you got to be strong as a nation. You got to be strong as countries and cities and townships and villages and stuff. You got to be strong so that you, if, when you do find need in the world, that you can address it. The system's got you pushed down so far. You know, look, we the people are the base of that pyramid. We hold that power structure up. For every layer of structure from the very bottom of the base, we the people are that very bottom of the base. And then we got levels that go up, you know, like the police officers and the senators and the congressmen and the parliaments and so on up the line, all the way up to the presidents and the kings and queens of the world. We are literally the foundation that holds that entire system up. Now, if one day we all decide to walk in opposite directions and just let it all come crashing down, then we have to deal with the ramifications of what comes next. But if we all start to build a system alongside the same system that we despise, the one that's eating us alive, and we start working on bartering systems and new money systems or whatever, and just keep on working towards benefiting one another and not supporting the beast that's eating us alive, by the time we get strong where we should have been all along, by the time we use our power of the spoken word and our wisdom and the power of our actions and leading by example and all those nifty phrases there, by the time we get down to the end of that road, we're strong enough that that system over there no longer relevant. It has become irrelevant. The power is in the people. The power is in what the people teach their children. The power is in how the people treat their own communities. We have this capability. We have always had this capability, but we've become complacent and begin to rely on a system that didn't always have our best interest at heart. When they said that our money would be backed by gold and silver, we should have, once it was no longer backed by silver and gold, we should have stopped the brakes. We should have slammed our feet on the brakes and said, hold on, we're not going down that road. We're not going to take fiat currency. We want to know that this is backed by silver and gold. If it's not backed by silver and gold, you guys can just go on down the road. We'll start our own currency and we'll back it by silver and gold. That's what we should have done. But we didn't. Instead, we applied for birth certificates and social security cards and food stamps and welfare and everything else under the sun an entitlement type mentality where we believe the world owed us this because of who we are. The truth of the matter is, nobody in this world owes you nothing. It's all a gift. If somebody wants to help you out and take care of you in life and help you along and you support them and they support you, that is the way it should have been. You are your brother's keeper. You see what I mean?
Oh, I know what you mean. That's why, when I look at parents and stuff, like, I'm a parent, right? I never tell my kid anything. Right? I never say no. I'm only there to guide her. Everything is her decision. Right? I don't worry about her. Like 2 years old, 3 years old, she was cooking on the stove. No problem. Right? Because I allowed her. I threw the bacon in and I let her get burnt. People would say, you're cruel, harsh. But she's going to get burnt for the rest of her life getting cooking bacon. Is she not? She's going to be a mother one day herself. Kids don't know what hot is.
Well, so, it's our job.
Right? You see, you got to teach them. And the only way to teach them is just be there for guidance.
Well, that's it. It's our job to guide the younger generation into a better way. And you can't guide them into by being abusive and making them live in fear. You got to respect and fear. There's a difference there. You respect that's hot. If you've touched it once and it hurt, chances are you use common sense and never repeat that process. But you know, awareness, respect for the dangers of life, and common sense will take you a long ways. And if you guide your children in a manner that, and you try to teach them the way that you want them to go out and treat the world, then that's the world that you're going to end up with. Maybe you're not going to enjoy the fruits of your labor. Maybe it takes several generations to undo the damage that's been done to our generations.
Right. It takes more time to undo things that have been done. Just like in a relationship, right? Maybe never undo them, right? It takes only one generation to lose knowledge, right? My grandma, she speaks fluent French, right? She never taught my mother. So, one generation. I don't know French. One generation, forgotten knowledge. Now how much time do I have to put, now that I'm 33 years old, into French? To learn French fluently, so I can have a conversation with my grandmother. It's that drive, that want, right? It could be 2 weeks. Well, it could be a month.
That's the key to this whole entire thing that you just said. Those words that came up out of your mouth is the key to this entire thing. You gotta want to do something. You gotta want to make sure that your children have a better future. Otherwise, it ain't gonna happen.
Right.
You gotta either force yourself to sacrifice something in your life, because, believe it or not, people, this world isn't all about you. It's
That's
not
right.
all about me. It's all about the future of humanity. Are we going to be in 100 years from now? Are we even going to exist at this rate? That's a good question. You can only abuse nature so far. You can only abuse each other so far before you end up with war, death, and destruction. And that's what we're trying to avoid. We're trying to use avoidance. I avoid the system by staying in my little circle down here, my own little property and my own house, and I try to avoid any interaction with any law enforcement or government officials if possible. I'll speak out when necessary, but for the most part, I try to stay to myself, and I try to talk to all of you out there in the world. But, you know, if you fear your country, if you fear your government, then things aren't right. Ain't the way it was meant to be. It was set up as a, you know, basically to protect the rights that we all decided we should have, that our Creator had given us to begin with, and that those should have been our birthrights, that we had those rights to not be harmed, and to our own privacy and safety and such. Thomas Jefferson said the price to freedom was eternal vigilance, and if you don't utilize that knowledge and really sit back and contemplate on what those words actually mean, then you become complacent in a, you know, letting things just slide. Well, you know, they intended on doing, you know, things right. It just didn't go so well, but, you know, you give them a chance, they'll work it out. The government's always got your best interest at heart and that kind of stuff. You can't trust that the police officer is always going to be on the up and up, just like you can't trust that the average Joe is always going to be on the up and up. But you can't go along being in fear of both, either or. You got to use wisdom and common sense to guide your path through life. It's like playing a game of Pac-Man for me, man. I'm trying to avoid the ghost. But in the same sense, I'm trying to use some of that wisdom that I acquired while avoiding the ghost to tell somebody, hey, when you get down to that corner, you might want to turn left instead of right, because I've seen about 4 ghosts down that direction, and you don't want to deal with them. You see what I mean? Am I wrong in my thoughts, Justin? No? Thomas, are you around?
No, you're not. I'm sorry, I had my mic in there. I don't see any problems in anything, right? Come on. Look at, some people are so, on autopilot, right? They're so into the system, right? They put their kids on leashes. Man, you're losing out on a whole experience chasing your kid around.
Well,
those are memories. Isn't life about memories? Not just how much money you have in your pocket or the things that you have. You see, this is, people talk about this on the radio show all the time, right? Mortgage, it means death pledge in Latin, right? Go deeper than that. possessions, items. People obsess over these things. And that's what their life is. They obsess over how much they have in their home.
Yep.
And it literally possesses them. And with this, what do you gain out of it? You have no story whatsoever. And that's what life is. Life is about feeling. When somebody kicks you, that's feeling.
You can lose track of what's most important by getting sucked into trying to keep up with the Joneses or live out the American dream. You can push yourself away from your family. Stephen Gibbons typed in some words from Thomas Jefferson. He said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." That is what the average American people believe. So, please, I know if you're from another nation and you know all the history of this nation right here, don't prejudge all of America. Don't paint America with a wide brush.
Right. Like, I'm not gonna get into the whole Trump thing or anything, but Trump did. He said the same thing, right? He said it in straight blank words. We're not the only country that's done harm.
That's right. We're not.
So when do we turn around and say, yes, I'm an adult, I failed my kid, or I'm a younger adult and I'm failing myself? When do we all stand up and make change individually and change the wavelength that we're on? Because that's what it needs to take, as a whole. Because we're not individual gods, only as a whole we are.
We need to like keep these words spreading. That's why I always ask you guys every time, the folks out there listening, if you like these podcasts, share them with your friends. Alright, so, Knights of the Round Table is a 3-hour podcast. Mad Science is a 3-hour podcast. A lot of people don't have 3 hours to sit around and listen to a couple guys talk about peace and love in the world and mad science and all that. But if they do, if they have some time on their hands, maybe they're laying up in the doggone hospital bed and ain't got nowhere to go. Pass the information on. Share it on your social media networks. That's how you support us. That's how you support yourself, by putting some words of wisdom out there, keeping those words of wisdom going. And if you got words of wisdom, there's a microphone available for you. You know? People think that sitting around talking about things don't get nothing done. But yeah, sitting around talking about things is really important, because if you never address the situation, then nobody even aware of the situation. The average Joe out there hasn't got even a clue, because they're too busy doing whatever it is with their video games or watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. It's like my daughter yesterday was on her phone ticked, and I told her, I said, put my hand in front of her phone, and I said, "Daughter, I said, there's a world going on out here. Out here in the real world, you're missing life. Life is passing you by, because you always got your nose in that thing." I wasn't trying to be mean to her, because technology's cool. You get to talk to people all over the world. But at some point, you got to get out there and you got to walk through the flowers and smell the fragrances and experience life. We're getting sucked into this big old...
See, that's what life is. It's all feeling, right? And nobody's having any feeling. They're just zombies. They're on autopilot. They're doing what they're told to do because, they're all scared. They don't want to lose their jobs. They don't want, they think that, yeah, your food has to come from a grocery store.
Yeah.
That's the funniest thing, See, apple trees and raspberry bushes and all these groups of food, they grow and they flourish. And if we're there and we make them in lines and all this other stuff, then it's us that's controlling it.
Yep.
You see, if you let a raspberry bush or an apple orchard go natural, all the seeds that keep growing and growing and growing and growing, yeah, there's bad ones. But those bad ones, they grow another tree.
Well, let's say we take a music break and come back and polish off the rest of the Knights of the Round Table. I'm going to throw three things up there for people to listen in. First off, it's going to be Paul Harvey, If I Were the Devil, because I want you to pay attention to the words and hear what he said back in 1965. And if anybody would have paid attention to his words of wisdom, maybe they could have guided our generations into a different direction as opposed to where we ended up here today. Not saying the life was all bad, but he's pretty close to what he said. I mean, I can't see nothing wrong. It's almost like that man had a prophetic vision of the future. Then second song, I'm throwing the Soggy Bottom Boys in there because I like that Man of Constant Sorrow song. That's pretty good. And then last but not least, I'm throwing Molly Hatchet Flirting with Disaster, because all of these things are relevant to what's going on in the world. We are flirting with disaster environmentally and physically and emotionally and mentally and with our fellow brothers and sisters around the world. You can't keep going on this path without expecting a bad outcome. So
you sure you don't replace some just glue some fears on it and call it Fedcraft?
Maybe.
play Dreamer by Ozzy. Listen to the words.
Well, this is going to put us up to 10 minutes worth of song, so let's just leave it at that for the moment. But I agree with what you're saying.
Hey, don't suppress me!
Don't suppress you. I'll have to put the Fly Like an Eagle one in there. That's about a 10-minute song. Time keeps on slipping.
I like your mother.
If I were the Prince of Darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
In constant sorrow all through his day, I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my day. I bid farewell to old Kentucky.
place where I was born and bred. The place where he was born and bred. For 6 long years I've been in trouble. No pleasure here on earth I find. I'll die upon this train.
Perhaps he'll die upon this train.
You can bury me in Sunny Valley for many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave,
while he is sleeping in his grave.
Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no on God's golden shore.
He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
she swings the table and the Knights of the Round Table.
And we're back. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. During the break there, the question came up, did Shaziz ever want peace with Thomas? No, because Thomas is always talking about my mama. Are you still there, Thomas?
No.
All right, Thomas ain't here. He left. Thomas has left the building. What is that? Oh, no. I know you didn't just post that in there. 10 hours of nails on a chalkboard. My God, somebody got too much time on their hands. Soothing rain sounds with distant train and too much, or 10 hours of nails on a chalkboard. Well, one or two things is going to happen listening and watching that video for 10 hours. Either you're going to go flat out insane or you're going to get so used to it it won't bother you anymore. So, which, do you even want to go down that road to try it?
I was going to say, they're advertising on the nails on the chalkboard wasn't 10 hours of a baby crying.
Dang. Man.
It's like there's a whole channel of nothing but soothing sounds to put you to sleep. So somebody went, man, I got to make the most annoying sounds possible and do a channel of nothing but annoying sounds.
All right, well, take that video and go post it over there in the chat room, and I challenge anybody to listen to 10 solid hours of nails on a chalkboard and tell me how you fared. I ain't doing it. Not at all. Not in the least.
I mean, your voice even broke when you said that.
Yeah.
So we know what the next experiment's going to be when we get up there. It's going to be like, what was that... Oh man, something orange.
I don't know.
Is it Agent Orange? Not Agent Orange.
I don't.
The movie?
Huh?
The movie?
Movie Orange? I don't know.
Why can I not remember the name of it now, man?
I don't know, but if you come walking up to my house with a chalkboard, it's on. That's the declaring the act of war at Shaziz the Terrible, King Shaziz the Terrible. If I see a chalkboard coming my way, I ain't going to wait around to see if you're just going to write some nice notes on it or anything like that. I'm going to assume that you're coming there with a full-on assault and act accordingly. We were going to use this for educational purposes.
Now I know what it was. We're going to go full on Clockwork Orange on you.
Stephen Gibbons said, Orange is the New Black. There's a series out there about that.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
And Red is the New Blue.
Yeah. Well, I just want to avoid the... I want to use avoidance and common sense to not listen to a chalkboard. Number one.
That's why we have to show up. We got to put the things in your eyes to hold your eyes open the whole time and whatnot.
Yeah. Dang, that's even worse, because if you got your eyes, you can't shut your eyes, and you have to listen to the chalkboard, you actually have to watch the visualization as it occurs, which will give you even more mental power over the poor individual that can't get away. That's torture, man. I'd rather be waterboarded. Man. Anyway, such is society, man. Oh, Stephen said that Orange is the New Black. It says, we all get orange jumpsuits and listen to white noise and 10 hours of nails on chalkboard. Holy smokes. Hey, take me off the list for the invitation list to that party, because I ain't going. It's like that squeaky chair. When Thomas made it down to Texas to visit with Raymond, the first thing he'd do is remedy that squeaky chair, but once Thomas realized that it annoys me, he decided it's worth keeping. See? Well, Thomas,
got cheeked up a little.
Let me ask you a question. How long would it take you to remedy this situation, to bring about peace and grease that chair?
I don't know, but I'm selling weapons to both sides, so.
Dang. Alright, what you need to do is make a 10-hour long video of that chair squeaking. Think you can do that for 10 hours without driving yourself crazy?
So what you're saying is I should weaponize this tool.
Yeah. Steven said Shaziz is Gitmo Camp. Nails on chalkboard and squeaky chairs and annoying squealing and babies crying for 10 hours solid. Man, if you weren't crazy at the beginning of this show, you will be crazy after spending a week at that camp. And you know it's bad when your king don't even go visit his own camp. You're like, how's it going down there? You hear all that racket in the background. I'm sorry, I gotta go. I can't stand that noise. Yeah. Off to Shaziz's camp you go. That's what. Every time you all do something terrible, that's where you gotta go.
The heck with washing your mouth out with soap.
Yeah. Let's put
We're going to wash your ears out with nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah, let's put all the politicians at that camp. What do you think? They'll be really polite when they come back.
Maybe, or deaf.
Maybe a little skittish, too. Can you see it? Every time a chair squeaks, they jump. What was that? I thought I left that place. We sent Justin there. I think he might be able to. He'll do some yogi or something like that and just kind of sit around going, which will be another 10 hour annoyance for somebody else. Oh, man. See, we can always find ways to drive each other insane. That may be the reason why the world is the way it is, man. People are crazy. I don't think we were necessarily born that way, but I think that over time we learned how to drive each other nuts.
Oh, look at that. Fork scraping on a plate for 8 minutes.
Oh, wow.
I wonder if they've actually done one where it's just basically the sound of a spoon hitting the bottom of a cereal bowl repeatedly. Clink, or, clink, clink.
Or somebody eating their chips loudly. Where's he at today? He'd probably be snacking on his chips on the radio. That's really not good for radio, honestly. Oh, it could be, I guess. Be a conversation piece.
Are you sure the radios don't care? Huh. Are you talking about the listeners?
Yeah, listeners. You start squawking on a chalkboard for 3 hours solid on the Knights of the Round Table, I bet that a lot of people drop off. You might have those hardcore ones that are going to hang in there and say, I know this is going to have a good ending, so I'm staying. I just know it's got to be better than this. Oh, man. Those people that...
This has to be the best.
Yeah. For people who don't mind the self-torture.
There's another video. This has got to be the best one.
Yeah.
10 hours of nothing.
Oh, that would be bad. But every once in a while, you'd have to have, like, a phrase come on there. The ends justify the means. And they'll stick around to find out what the ends was. I have sat through series after series on Netflix that have left you hanging. Right in midair, you get to the end of it, or they have a really lousy ending on it, or they just leave you hanging. And nobody makes another series after that. There's no prequel or sequel or whatever the heck you call it after. That's it. You just, like, you get all interested, get all the way to the end of the series, it's the last one, and then bam, they just leave you hanging. So you gotta make up your ending. I hate that. drives me nuts.
Hey, what's funny is whenever they drop a science fiction show on the Sci-Fi Network, flaming ratings and what they replace it with?
Yeah.
WWF.
Man. What a world.
Yeah, I guess that's a better place for it since, 99% of it's fake anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it might not be science, but it's definitely fiction. We can't throw it on the sports channel.
Well, you can't land a 250-pound man on his neck without serious ramifications.
Uh-huh.
But yet they do it all the time and bash each other in the head with steel chairs and stuff. I'd be like, you'd think that the majority, there'd be wrestlers dropping like flies, man. Brain damage and hemorrhaging and broken necks and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
No. Yeah. So people got to use some common sense. You know, there are people out there that believe that that is real, what they're watching. And I fell victim to this at one point when it comes to news and the alternative media. I stumbled on this video one time where Congress was talking about a new law or something like that. And every so often throughout the reading of this law, before they voted on it, they kept saying the word redacted. Redacted. All the way through it. So they're going to pass a secret bill. You ain't got no clue what's in it. It falls back to what Nancy Pelosi said. Pass this bill to find out what's in it. But now you're seeing what looked like Congress setting where they're all saying redacted while they're reading out this bill so that the average Joe wouldn't know what was actually in it. Well, I didn't know at the time, but there's this network out there called the Onion News Network. And it's basically a spoof on Congress and government or whatever. But if you weren't in the know, it looks so realistic that you would have believed it and passed it on as real news. Of course, I didn't pass it on because I got to looking down through the comments to see what people were saying about it because it was so insane. And then I put two and two together and I looked up there and there's a little onion up there in the corner of the description. And so I realized that it was a gag. But either way, nonetheless, there's people out there that see that stuff and they take it to heart and a conspiracy is born. Steven said you need 10 hours. Don't forget about the industrial air conditioner. Yeah. Since I hate to be cold, sitting around Raymond's industrial strength air conditioner and fingers on the chalkboard with a screaming baby in the background and all the other noises like that, that would be miserable. What'd you put in there now?
It actually clues in exactly what the onion's all about.
Breaking news, some...
We'll see what it actually says, but to make it a little more radio-friendly, it basically says, breaking news, some BS happening somewhere.
Yeah. Huh.
So.
Well, that's pretty much it. And, you know, when people legitimize mainstream media that are known to not be honest on the up and up or even biased for that matter, and then they preach it out like it was the gospel, and you can understand why there's people out in the streets acting a fool that don't even, when you ask them about what it is they're protesting, they really can't give you no specifics. All they can give you is talking points. And those are the folks that really think they need some education. Show them, man. Look, before you get all crazy on me, look, at least take a look at this bit of information here. Once you see this bit of information, then let's sit down and have an honest debate about this and see where we can go from there. Instead of just sitting out there trying to out-yell each other. I don't know how these people do it for hours on end, sitting out there yelling some crazy chant over and over again, as loud as they can. Somebody else is trying to shout them with the opposite version. Man, you better get some grease on that chair. I'm telling you.
Hey, it sounds like you're out here for 3 hours chanting.
Yeah.
No squeaky chairs. No squeaky chairs. No squeaky
chair. Grease the chair. Well, the first time I heard that doggone thing, Raymond, he's like, every time he moved around, that thing was squeaking. I said, well, look, Thomas, when you get down there, you need to go right straight there and grease that thing, because it's bad for radio. And then you get there and you realize how much fun it is to drive me nuts with it and decide to keep it, weaponize it.
Or I'm using it to make sure eventually you have to come out of your hole and come down here and visit.
That'd be the first thing. I come down there with a can of grease and grease that thing so good you will never squeak.
Make sure to record it too.
That's right. Anyway. So we started off this show. My initial intentions when I woke up this morning was to see if I could try to add some humor to the life that we have to deal with right now. The more I got to looking into crazy things that people said, the more I found out the world is in trouble, so to speak, with mental illness, man. There's some weird things that people do and say, and videos out there about the top 10 weirdest mental illness and disorders. I worry for the people, because if this becomes, there's a video out there, you know, the guy that played in the movie where he could talk to animals. What the heck was the name of that movie? Doggone it, man. He also played in The Grinch. Comedy.
Oh. Ace Ventura.
Yeah, Ace Ventura. There you go. There is a photo of him, and it's talked about. It's basically a video that says the famous people with serious mental disorders. And if you've seen this video, it's like night and day compared to what you see him on TV, as opposed to this video, which kind of looks like a mugshot, and he looks terrible. He'd been on some sort of long drug spree and had something happen to his face or something. I don't know. It's pretty bad. But, you know, once again, you're out on the internet. You got to take things with a grain of salt, because they can do funny things.
Grain of salt in the world?
Yeah. There ain't enough salt in the world to clear up this mess, right? But either way, you know, people are out there struggling, and it's up to the ones out there that got some common sense, or that, you know, the so-called awake or whatever, to get out there and help be that guiding light, man. I don't see any other way. You know, keep talking and doing the radio shows and trying to give people hope and doing the best you can to point them in the right direction to some help or good, you know, information. That's crazy. Like I said earlier, you sit around and talk to a psychiatrist long enough, I swear that psychiatrist, even if you're perfectly sane, will find something wrong with you. And will take you down a rabbit hole of the ways to think and the ways not to think. I don't know, man. So,
hey, wasn't Hannibal Lecter supposed to be a psychologist?
Yeah, and then he's talking about sitting around eating people's liver and stuff. Ugh.
That's not the worst part of it, though. He literally talked somebody into killing themselves.
Well, there's a lot of power in the spoken word.
Uh-huh.
I say that all the time. I say you can literally lift somebody up to the highest heights of heaven, or you can lower them down to the lowest depths of hell just by the words coming out of your mouth. And so I hope that at some point in time, I can be a positive role model for somebody who might make the right decision and make their life better for them, you know? Stephen said, Shaziz, grease that chair so good we have to call Raymond and Thomas the slippery bottom boys. Yeah, I'll grease the seat too. That way you guys slide off when you're trying to sit there. That's brilliant. Thanks, Stephen. The slippery bottom boys. Yep, that'll serve you. That'll teach you. Let that be a lesson to you.
That's what your mama used to call us.
Huh.
Do you ever want peace with Thomas Shazoos? No, because he keeps talking about my mama.
No, I ever want peace with Thomas.
Oh, man. Well, anyway, life is kind of strange out there. I say sometimes that life is like wrestling a cactus. It can be painful. It's ups and downs like a roller coaster.
Hey, I was going to say, it can be painful and totally pointless.
Yeah. Well, pardon the
pun. You taught that cactus a lesson.
Yeah, because all the prongs are in you now. Imagine running 70 miles across the blazing desert sand barefoot, only to come across a 6-foot-tall cactus and wrestle that thing to the ground. And then when you stand up in utter pain and excruciating agony, you could shout the words like Rocky in the movie. Yo, Adrian, I did it! It hurt like heck, but I did it! You know? Then you know you're caught.
Say, hey, you seen that guy where he's there's like a million memes of him saying, I don't want to say it was aliens, but it was aliens?
Yeah.
They photoshopped Rocky's face on it. Instead of aliens, it said Adrian's.
Yep. Well, either way, if you made it through life, they say nobody gets out of life alive, but if you made it this far, you might as well just hang in there to see how it all plays out. Because we don't know what's after. It might be worse, it might be better. Hopefully it's better than what we had to see. But if we got a little bit of time left to try to sort things out and make the world a better place for those that come after us so that they don't have to wrestle that cactus to the ground, then I think it's worth it. Because there's folks that paved the roads for us. Some of them didn't put very smooth stones down, but some of them did. And in honor of the ones that did pave the decent stones that we walked on to get where we are today, I say we return that favor for the future generations. What do you think, Thomas?
I think if only some of the people put decent stones down, they're just as guilty as the people who put bad stones down, because once the bad stones wash away, now you're hitting gutters where the bad stones weren't hitting, and you end up getting knocked back up with the good stones.
Well,
makes the road even bumpier.
We could actually go with a flanking plan, like a group of us start off laying down good stones, and then we allow the rest of the people to come by and lay their bad stones down, and then the group that's going to flank them will come up from behind and replace the old bad stones. That way it's a smooth path. What do you think?
Like I said, all the politicians in the world only make things worse. One piece of technology makes everything better.
Yeah. Well,
just got to find technology.
They say the road to disaster was paved by good intentions.
Since you used the term before, they also say that the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Well, that too.
And it is wide and flat.
Let's just hope that we made the right choice and we tried to put the positive pebbles in the pond out there and try to make it better for somebody. That's the best we can do.
Throwing all those positive pebbles in the pond, you can get when you die, you end up getting to heaven, you find out it's ran by fish who are mad because you filled their pond up.
Hey, I used to have 100,000 square feet of water to swim in until you threw all them pebbles in the pond, you giant turkey. Now guess where you're going? You're going in that cramped pond. Oh, that'd be my luck. Well, maybe we're just supposed to be down here creating a ruckus. I don't know. Doggone it. I don't want to create a ruckus.
Not creating a ruckus. Maybe we are the ruckus.
That might be that. You know, before we get up out of here, because we are getting short on time, but before we get out of here, we had mentioned one time that maybe there might be some advanced societies out there in the galaxy or something, and we were like the criminals, the lunatics, and the madmen of the galaxy, and so we got sent here in, like, basically a prison.
Criminals and political prisoners?
Yeah,
Australia?
Yeah, we don't know the reality of it, so we're just sitting here questioning, where did we come from? Because they, like, wiped our brains so we wouldn't know how to get back home. And then if we build us a rocket to get to space, we crash into the dome and wipe out anyway. Ain't no getting out. And you have to go through extremes in order to become wise enough to be, what's the word, pardoned or...
Released?
Yeah, released. Something.
Exonerated.
Exonerated. Earn your stripes and get out. Maybe that's what life's all about.
Shut your face and know your place.
So, we're here to learn. We're here to redeem ourselves. We're here to make the world a better place for each of us. Until we figure that out, we live the scene from Groundhog's Day where we wake up and every day's the same. Until we get it right. Does that sound plausible?
It sounds plausible enough. I think you can get enough people to believe in it that they'd start killing people over not believing in it.
Man. Oh, I don't want to start something like that. You know,
do we already have one too many of those things?
Maybe. I saw a movie one time. I can't remember what the doggone name of it is. I have a hard time remembering names of movies anymore. But essentially, these kids got stranded on the island and they broke off into two separate sections. Lord of the Flies, that was it. Did you see that movie?
Lord of the Bill Nyes?
No, the Lord of the Flies. Anyway, it had a disturbing ending to it. It's like, you know, when you see some of those movies and series where people are basically forced back into like a Stone Age type situation and they have to make their own governments up as they go and they don't have all the history of examples of what not to do, it usually doesn't play out too well when somebody's fighting for power. And I don't know, it was just really disturbing. But anyway, the world is full of crazies. Maybe we're all crazy to some extent. But my craziness tells me we gotta fix this mess before it gets so far over the hill that it can't be fixed. Now some would say that we're already there. If we are, I feel bad for society because like Paul Harvey said back in the day, it ain't gonna get any better like that. It's just, you know, take it how you want. Anyway, you guys got any last words of wisdom before we roll up out of here? Don't everybody jump to the microphone at once. I wouldn't want anybody to chip a tooth. Thomas? No?
You know me, man.
Yeah, we pretty much said it all. What about you, Justin? Any words of wisdom? He done went AWOL, man. AWOL, absent without leave. Send him to Shazuzzi.
He didn't ask for permission.
Yeah, send him to Shazuzzi's Gitmo camp with the chalkboard. All right, folks. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If you like these podcasts, share them around for us. If you want to join us sometime on the show, add one of us as a contact. Same username, Shaziz, on there. Throw me a contact request, and we'll call you in on Skype, you know. Hey, let you have your say in that stuff. And if you like the, if you like the message, send it out there to everybody else and join us in the chat room. And become one of the honorary Knights of the Round Table or one of the Knights of the Round Table, whichever you choose. Peace and love, everybody. Take care. You've been listening to the Knights.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you. We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We'll routine to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rise that our quiet on sing able. We're off from bad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
On second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Surveys the terrible and the knights of the round table.